There and off of them. Actually, you should be here, the machine's there.
Oh, do I?
No, you can just forget me.
Thanks.
It's my pleasure to have at the School of Drama Carol Rosenfeld. She is on the West Coast now because she is on her way to Vancouver to do a workshop. She's a master acting teacher whose base is in New York. She has been for the past 18 years at the HB Studios. She's worked, first studied and then taught. First studied with Uta Hagen and then taught at the HB for the last 15 years. Okay. For the last 15 years. Now this is interspersed 18. She's a very honest lady. This is interspersed with her own acting. She has acted with the Joseph Patrick Shakespeare company at the Guthrie with Garland Bright, and has done both television and film, and in New York. Most of the off-Broadway theaters. Not most, I'll take that back, but
no.
A good many. And I asked her if she would talk today because I think that for everyone who's going through a commitment and interest in acting, there's always the question, should I stay in school? Should I go to New York and go to a studio? If I go to a studio, what kind of a studio should I go to? What should I expect? What kind of person is best on that track? What kind of person is best to stay in? And she has had experience both with studios and the kind of academic setting you've had because she was, for a period of time, the master acting teacher in the Rutgers Professional Actor Training Program. So it's a great pleasure to have Carol Rosenfeld. And
that's it.
Unless I could ask you the question directly. What do you think? Tell us about the studios in New York.
Well, I'm really almost an expert on HB, and the rest of the studios I don't know a whole lot about. Our school has about 40 teachers. Teaching, movement, voice, speech, acting. We also have playwriting. We have had guest teachers come in and do small workshops. Austin Pendleton. Sometimes when he is now free, he used to be a member of the faculty. When he is free, he comes in and teaches. Mike Nichols came to our school a while back and taught for, I don't know, 4 classes. The school never closes. This is very boring, isn't it? I have a way of putting people to sleep. So when it gets dull, we can stop and shift the subject. Our school is also probably the cheapest school in the nation. And that includes Mr. Berghoff and Ms. Hagen's classes, which are $5 per class.
What's the length of the class time?
The class time's length is 2.5, sometimes 3 hours. The classes, however, are very large. The teachers who are exceedingly popular have class limits of 35. The classes meet once a week only for 2.5 hours. Now, the original, I think, intention of studio schools and this studio was not to train an actor from the ground up. I think it has become that, and consequently there are beginning classes as well as advanced classes. Originally, this was the ground for people who were already working and who needed nourishment to revitalize their soul, to continue their development, to, when they had been working, be able to come back and, when they were so motivated, break habits that they had acquired in the process of performing. So we have a range of all kinds of people in the school. Good. Any questions about anything?
Mm-hmm. How do the master teachers handle classes of the size of 35 when it comes to something as hard to teach and act? I mean, how do you handle 35 students even if you are a master? I mean, at one time.
Well, you don't. You do them one at a time or two at a time.
So 35 people,
most of the work is done outside of class, and that the person prepares. And then they bring the work into the class. And then present it. And receive a critique.
So it's basically
scene work or technique work. And the classes are not the same. I have changed my classes. My classes meet now twice a week. I've doubled the length of time. But it is possible. Again, I don't think that we can say that we are in the business of presenting a finished product. We're not turning out an actor who, when they are finished at our school, will be ready to enter the workforce. We're dealing with people already in the workforce who have had many previous training. So again, two, and this may seem contradictory to you, but we will have rank beginners in a class with people who have had previous training. And it does work. And I can't tell you why or how. Do you know? I think that's the way I was trained, and so I never questioned it. It is possible. Yes.
Auditioning for your classes, or do they just
no? Okay. No, the school is an open school, and almost anybody can go in and register. The only you must audition for Ms. Hagen. Mr. Berghoff interviews. I now interview. But by and large, it is first come, first serve. We have also a great attrition rate, which is interesting. And again, by itself weeds out people who don't belong and who are not highly motivated, because our school, there is no one saying you have to be here. There is no one saying you must do this. So consequently, people that really are able to function in that environment are highly self-motivated, because nobody cares if they don't show up. Yes?
The studio is known for its work in training actors. Could you specify a little bit more about what type of movement and voice work is offered by the various teachers at the studio? This is something I'm not familiar with.
No, I can't.
Okay.
I can't. Simply because I've never taken those classes. So I don't know enough about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When I was there, I took a class with Bill Hickey, who was a very interesting man. Have most of the master teachers there first studied with Berghoff and Uta Hagen?
Some.
Yes. So do you feel that you're all more or less training in a similar way? Or?
No, I don't think so. I tell you, my feeling about all of the actors that I work with and all of the people that I see come through the studio, if I were to say I had a mission, my mission is that each individual actor is intelligent and must really choose, select their teacher, and has the responsibility to themselves to do that. I think that you can get a lot out of working with many different people, which is part of what the studio is, but I think that all of us also have our own type of student, that in a way you could categorize and say, oh, the students that are with Bill, the students that are with Stephen Strimpel, the students that are with me, the students that are with Ms. Hagen. I think that each one of us, the people that end up staying with us or working over a period of time, are doing so because we are suiting their needs to their satisfaction.
One of the hot subjects around here, especially in the undergraduate program, is should I leave the undergraduate program and travel to New York to continue my training there, or should I try and get into a graduate program? Since you were at Rutgers, I suppose that you know a little bit about curriculums that are offered in MFA acting training programs. I was wondering if you could talk about your feelings or personal views on those two routes and how they differ and what's good and what's bad about both or neither.
Yeah, okay. First of all, I don't know a lot about other MFA training programs. And the one that I know about is the program at Rutgers, simply because I have a dear friend that is connected now to the program, and I know that it is outstanding. And I don't know anything else.
Is it similar to our curriculum?
The structure is, they have a full BFA, which means they have 100 BFA actors. And then there is a BA program also. So that means that there are 135 actors there. Here we have, as you knew Rutgers in the old days,
this
the BA
is more, and
program, but this is a stronger BA program
than we had
than
there.
What we had there, and the graduate programs are just about parallel.
Right. Great. Whether to go to New York or not, I don't know why anybody would go to New York. I don't know, truly. I tell you, and I admire, I think that it is a great thing to do. Simply because if you can function in the environment, you have sent yourself a major message, which is, gee, I can function in this environment. And it's a hard one. And the thing about it is it's also very stimulating. But I think that theater doesn't only live and breathe in New York. The training is in New York. I think there's no question that you could map out for yourself a remarkable training program in New York if you had exceedingly great discipline. Because I wouldn't even say that you had to do it by going to one particular school necessarily. I mean, I know that there are schools that have, you have to go for 2 years. And a lot of people leave our school when they really know that they now need that. And they want it. And our school is not serving them. And vice versa. So it is such a highly individual thing that I would never make a blanket statement. Because again, each person has to know what they want, what they're after, and then once they've said that, go after it. I have worked with many Europeans, a lot of Canadians come down and work with me, and then I have worked with now, I don't know, 10 people from Spain. They are completely inspiring because they come into the city highly focused because they have X amount of time. There are a lot of New Yorkers that do not understand what they have because they're not deprived. They have the training. They also know that the training is there forever. And that anytime they want it, they can take it and have it. And in a funny way, there is a kind of complacency because they do have it. It is accessible. There was a young Canadian that came down, and she's a dancer in Canada. She's in the production of Cats. And she came down, went to the city, and was taking dance class after dance class, and just was in heaven because she could take a dance class at any time of day with major dance teachers. But what she also said was, she said the caliber a dancer in the class was also inspiring. She said the class itself and the makeup of the class was incredible. Now that is the caliber and the quality that you will find in New York if you search it out. Not necessarily in one place. I don't know whether, you know, a person should go. I think that you should live in the real world and then go to into an MFA program. Simply because it's not so much that after you have had practical experience and pragmatic experience, your education means more to you. You don't have to have somebody else telling you why you're doing it. Nobody has to lecture you. You really self-motivate and self-generate and consequently contribute. And I think that there's nothing like life and practical experience to help you in that area. It depends. It depends on whether you know your weaknesses. I mean, how are you going to find them out? If you have really had them identified here in your undergraduate program and then know that, no, you must really go on again to further training, well, great. Yes. It's not my area. I wish it were.
Do you have any idea of what background the teachers have at the studio? No? Just generally? I've asked so many people and no one knows.
It's not my fort. I'm not a mover. I wish I were, but I'm not.
But you
no.
Say
my college is, I went to a college that didn't have a theater department. It was great. No, we had great experiences, you know, simply because we didn't have classes.
So then you took an MFA, did you?
Mm-mm.
What did you do? You studied with Judah Hawkins?
Mm-hmm. Late in life, actually. Yeah, I took a very different route, my route of life. I was in the Peace Corps, I was in Africa, lived in Hawaii. I was acting everywhere, not professionally, but I was never stopped doing that. And I couldn't make it in straight way. I mean, it was just not my route of my life this time around. Yes?
You mentioned one type of actor who comes in to take classes be re-nourished to rid themselves of bad habits, old habits, which struck a personal chord with me. But if someone is taking classes regularly and are lucky enough to get a job and start rehearsing, get in the show, and doing the show, are they allowed to bring that work that they're doing in the show in progress into class to try and fix it? No, I don't think.
No, I think that, I personally feel that that would be very inappropriate. I think that where you don't tackle, I mean, when you have the job, you have the job. You either succeed or you don't succeed, it doesn't matter. Which is true, I mean, it's really true. The play opens. And it closes. And you've either solved the problem that time around or you haven't. And you go on to the next play. And that's the only way to think, because that's the truth. I mean, that's really the name of the game. And that if you are having certain kinds of problems, that you separate those, isolate them in the environment. See, what is a classroom? What is a classroom? A classroom is not a place for validation of talent. That is not why you go to an acting class. You do not go there in order to validate your talent. If that is the purpose and the reason that you are there, you've missed the class. The class is only there to give you the time and the space to attack problems, whether they are text, whether they are your instrument, do you follow? Whatever it is, that's where you are in a very holy, sacred environment in which you are willing, because it's the only place that you are willing, or should be willing, to fall on your face in public. You're not going to do it anywhere else, you would be insane. And where are you going to make mistakes? In that environment. Now, a lot of us build up such a persona and such an exterior that it is so terrifying to do that. Do you fall? And especially after you've had a modicum of success, God help you. Because then you can't fail. Except all I can tell you to do is to keep reading reviews, keep looking at the number of people who are massively successful getting bad critics, bad, what are those things called?
Notices,
yes. Right? Does it stop them? No. Is it the end of the world? No. It's just the name of the game. But I think that a lot of us think that now that we've done it, there's a thing called having arrived or making it. It's never ending. There is no such beast. And so it takes a very strong, a very humble person to keep putting themselves back in the environment where they are being observed in a way that they will never be observed outside. And where they are being attended to by their colleagues. Genuine artists are passionately interested in one another's work. Genuinely interested. They are not happy when somebody doesn't do a good performance. They don't get off on that kind of failure. Rather, the adjustment is what? To what is the problem here? Do you follow? And just because a person can't play a part today doesn't mean they won't have it ready tomorrow. Do you understand? In other words, each of us are not necessarily ready to do all of the literature right at this moment. But we might be 10 years from now.
You mentioned earlier that the classes were ongoing.
Uh-huh.
Is there a starting point? I mean, there's a starting point. Is there sort of a correlation class to class that, yes, now we're working on personalization, what's going on, or is it the students come in and say, we need to work on this, or
no, I don't know. It's like each teacher is so, Mr. Berghoff believes in artistic freedom. Consequently, once you are teaching in his school, that's it. For better or for worse, all of us, again, have our reputation. I finally, for myself, made, God help me, I guess a syllabus. I did do that. In terms of, for my beginning technique class, which I don't consider, I don't think that there is a thing called a beginning technique class. You are either a beginner or you are advanced. The technique stays the same. Do you understand? And this is where people, again, because of our ego, because of what I have to feel, because I am functioning not artistically, but still like I were going through grade school, do you know? I say, well, I'm advanced. I mean, the number of people that come in and tell me because they've been through a program that they're advanced, I already know where they're headed at. Whereas I have actors who I have nothing to teach that are in the class. I have nothing to say to them, they're so good. Except that I'm just grateful that they would even spend Do you know the time to sit in my class, to get up in front of me so that I can watch? And they didn't come to me and say to me, oh, I'm advanced. I think this is a small mind. And I don't know whether I'm answering your question. That's why our studio functions the way it does. In other words, I'm not going to compare you. If you are advanced, I will give you the criticism that you need. If I have somebody who is a beginner, whatever that is. That only means that they haven't had as much time in this business as you are. They may be 10 times better than you are. They may be so talented that I just pray to God that I don't screw them up. So there's no way that I can give, do you understand that you can make a blanket statement? Did I answer your question? I do go off. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
I don't
know. Okay.
I guess what I was asking is there a sequence? I mean, do you work with the individuals and what their needs are,
okay,
not in the classroom as a whole, saying, okay, we're going to work on this today and let's overcome this, but rather than.
I have a sequence. I have steps.
So there are steps.
I have steps.
So
yes.
Logical progression.
Absolutely.
That was my question.
Great.
And I think Joe too means to all of the teachers. I mean, the thing of it is, down there, they're all like four. How many teachers? 40. What?
40, but 20 acting, maybe 15 acting, something like that.
And I think he was asking, do all the heads come together and say, you know, are we gonna map it out like this? Everybody does their own thing.
Mm-mm. Everybody does their own thing.
And that's where you talk about your artistic license. You can do what you want to do.
Yeah, I have great colleagues that I respect. I mean, I feel very, very privileged and fortunate to work side by side by some of these people. They're very dedicated. They're very good at what they do.
You guys cross-reference each other?
No.
You wouldn't say, well, you seem more like you would be better with...
Mm-mm. No, that's why the student really has to do the choosing. And we have an auditing policy. I encourage people to see my classes. Some people come back 3 times before they decide to work with me. And I think that's great, because then they're operating out of personal choice, not just... Simply because we do have a lot of people coming in off the street that may not be ready, because even though my beginning technique class is a beginning class, it's not a beginning class. Somebody that's not going to faint if I look at them. And someone who is exceedingly needy of a certain kind of care. The clarity with which they're able to articulate who they are, what they want, why they want it. Some can and some can't. Their personality. You know, their comfortability with themselves and who they are, that they're not on rote doing something that they've been trained of how to greet the public. I get turned off by that. Do you know? Because I don't feel that they're not really thinking independently. I brought a brochure. June 23rd. That's a 10-week session.
Mm-hmm. I was curious. You said that you came to Acting Late, you committed to Acting Late because you do a lot of things. Would you be willing to talk about that a little bit?
It's great. Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. It's so funny. I mean, well, but it's so boring. Well, I realized, I always wanted to be an actor, so when I was 16, I was teaching myself, you know, in my room. I grew up in Miami, Florida. I was reading Stanislavski, and all of my class projects were on the theater, and I subscribed to all of the plays, and then at that time there was a magazine called Theater Arts Magazine, and there was the play of the week, and there was always this, I don't know, this one name that was so fascinating was Uta Hagen. Do you know? She was always in the play of, I don't know, it seemed like her name was always there, and I thought, this must be, you know, as a child, this must be a fabulous, great actress. And that's, and I just created, invented what I thought the world of theater was. And I sent away to Pasadena Playhouse and the American Academy of Drama, and I just lived in the fantasy world. I taught myself how to do makeup, and I sent away to Stein's, and I was having this whole thing. I became, I got into the drama club, thank God, which was a place for misfits in the 50s. Yeah, I was a 50s child. So the theater was for the misfits of the world at that point. And I was home. I mean, I found my home. What ended up happening was that I never got cast the big part. So I learned the way of the theater very early in life. And it never bothered me. That's what was really weird. I wish I knew that now, what I knew as a child, which is that the theater is not fair, that nobody is ever going to go out. Do you know, I mean, it's not, I'm not always going to get cast. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I mean, it's like I grew up, I was weaned on the theater doing props. In other words, if you're destined to be a star, you know, there are some individuals, they're very few and far between, really. But even those are gorgeous human beings, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin. Unbelievable, the graciousness, genuine graciousness. You know, because it's a responsibility to be a great artist. Anyway, so then there's the thing called getting a play on. So I did that when I was in high school, and then I ended up going to a college that didn't have a theater department. And I didn't think twice about it, I mean, because I just found the theater club. It was called Penn Players. And I don't know, then I ended up getting into a play that was a fringe because our, this was during the McCarthy era, and the head of the Penn Players thought that Arthur Miller was a communist, and the students had voted to do the Crucible, and she said no. And so they went off, and they made their own theater, and it was absolutely exciting. It was, and I got cast in that, so then I got discovered. You know how you, when you get discovered finally? And then, but I didn't get into main stage production. My first main stage production, I was in Our Town, which is still my favorite play of all time. It's my favorite, favorite play. And I got to go on as a Under the Umbrella. And I always thought, you have to understand, I always thought that all the people that were getting the other parts were better. And you know what? They probably were. You know? And the other thing is, that is really incredible, is that probably out of all of those people, I'm one of the few that's still in the theater. Now, which comes to the lesson that I have learned. And really the biggest thing that you have to hold on to is what's inside of you. I mean, if it has to come out, it's going to find its way out, do you know? And I learned, unfortunately, very early in my life that I had been programmed very efficiently that I was supposed to get married and have a baby. And I had never really set, I talked the theater. And I don't know whether it was fear, I don't think it was a certain kind of fear. It was about myself. that I just didn't have a certain kind of strength to just stay in there. I went into New York a couple of times and missed many opportunities for myself. So I took this other kind of a route. But when I was in college, I ended up going to the Cape Playhouse in Dennis, Massachusetts one summer. And my roommate was somebody who did become a star. And after I had come back from the Peace Corps and I was in the city, I always kept saying, oh, I'm going to study, because I had never really studied and I never really trained. And I saw that she was on Broadway and I went to see it. I didn't know whether she would remember me, because she was tall and beautiful and here I am, you know, short and fat. But I went to backstage to see her, and she did some, oh, darling, do you remember when we went through the fields? I don't know what she talking about. When we went through the fields, we used to go out with the techies and get drunk at night. It was very romantic. Change. The story doesn't change. You know what? I saw Good Morning America once. Pete Rose. Is he the, wait, is that the baseball player?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you know what? If you live long enough, what you discover is that the game stays the same. The only thing that changes is the quality of the uniforms, the amount of money that's riding on it. Do you understand? But the game itself is going to be identical. You have a job to do, you got to do it. The thing that differentiates an amateur from a professional is amateur is all love, is selfless. By the time we get to this place of called professional status, we have lost the thing that is really our, is our soul. And we have to re-access that. I don't know. Good luck. Yes.
Does your teaching schedule allow you the time to still take classes yourself and do shows, or do you just teach?
No, I teach. I just did a show, actually. It was a miracle that it was able to work out. But it was in our studio theater at... Mr. Berghoff has an HB Playwrights Foundation, and they do, I don't know, 8 projects a year, which is heaven. It was like being in heaven. It was just wonderful, because time pressure, there's no commercial pressure at all, but you're guaranteed, because there's no money is exchanged anywhere, except maybe in the building of the set, which nobody tells him how much is spent on the production. But the audience comes in free, and it was just a wonderful, and I had a great part. So it was very good. Actually, I needed to do that then. But no, my teaching is really taking up a lot of time because I'm traveling. Yeah.
And why are you here in Seattle again? I didn't hear.
To visit Betty. Yeah, on my way to Vancouver. I'm doing a workshop up in Vancouver.
What kind of workshop?
It's a professional master class. Yeah. Actors get together 6 days. It's absolutely intensive. You go from the top to the bottom in 6 days. It's really an incredible commitment, but wonderfully exhilarating. Yeah.
Do you allow people in a situation like this to audit that, or is this strictly a closed door thing with just the people who came in at the beginning?
No, we have auditors up there.
Even
yeah, there. But the rule is that you have to audit 3 times. We don't like people dropping in, seeing,
yeah,
and looking. It's not fair. It's not fair to the actor who is exposing themselves, you know, in the professional community. And so that the requirements for auditors is very strong. No agents, no casting directors, nobody, again, where your professional life is at stake. I had an actor, it was very painful for him actually, because he hadn't taken a class, and it was so courageous. I think you have to be a samurai to be an actor. You really, it's training to be a samurai. Because what you are asking of yourself to be well physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, to handle not only the creative process, but the other part of your life that the world demands of you, living in this corrupt society that we live in today, it's very, very hard. Yeah, did I answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah, and more, yes.
I suppose you still have a relationship with Ms. Hoggy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you know any of her personal feelings about her last two Shaw plays in New York, and how she felt about the experience of doing those two pieces.
She loved Mrs. Warren, and I don't think the other was even comparable. And she loves working. She's happy to be working. Thank you very much.
Thinking, for instance, if I wanted to teach movement.